The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I was going to bring John Lott on the program this morning anyway to talk about something that he wrote, a piece that he wrote about AI, artificial intelligence, and how biased it really is. I mean, and that's the best way to say it. It is biased in a number of ways. We all saw what happened specifically with the Google Gemini platform, AI platform, that essentially said, we're going to rewrite history with all of the diversity we can. We're going to make George Washington black. We're going to make the Pope female. We're going to make Irish people Asian and all kinds of nonsense. But when it comes to guns, it's a little more serious. When it comes to your Second Amendment rights, it's a little more serious. AI is very, very wildly and radically woke. And when it comes to crime and when it comes to, your Second Amendment rights. So John R. Lott wrote this great piece. I said, John, let's talk about this. Then, this was at the end of last week, then on Saturday, they announced the formation of the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center at the Department of Justice, which is essentially a big federal agency to allow red flag laws to exist to take away your guns and your rights without any due process at all. So I said, okay, now there's two reasons to talk to John R. Lott. Let's bring him on. John is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, the author of More Guns, Less Crime as well. And, John, it's so good to have you back. How are you, sir?
Oh, doing great. Great to talk to you again, Bob.
More guns and less crime is typically the way things go, just kind of with a nod to that title. But according to Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice, your guns, whether they are leading you to be able to protect yourself or not, are simply not their concern. Their concern is with appeasing a left-wing base that thinks that the presence of guns means death. So, John, tell me what your reaction is. You wrote a fantastic piece with Thomas Massey, Representative Massey, about this National Risk Protection Order Center. Tell us, a resource center. Tell us more.
Right. Well, I mean, everybody wants to try to take guns away from dangerous individuals that are there, but there are a couple problems with what they've done. Yeah, I mean, I suppose the most central problem is what they're proposing actually won't make people safer. But there's also this issue of setting up an agency without congressional approval. You just can't go and set up new agencies. The Bipartisan Community Safety Act that was passed in 2022 set up grants for a range of different types of activities. And the Biden administration decided to spend almost all the money on these red flag, encouraging states to adopt so-called red flag or extreme risk protection orders, which we can go into. But they've gone even beyond that in setting up an agency to coordinate these things and to go and try to push them. And you just can't go and set up a new agency without Congress authorizing you to do that. But there, as I said, there's a more basic problem here, and that is, while everybody wants to try to take guns away from dangerous people, there's already better laws on the books. All 50 states, including Ohio, have what they call civil commitment type laws. So if somebody is a danger to themselves or others, you can call up the police. The police will come out. If the police think that there's a so-called reasonable chance, which is about a 20% chance or more, that the person is, in fact, a danger to themselves or others, they can take them in for an immediate psychiatric evaluation. If the mental health care professionals there agree that there's a reasonable chance that the person is, in fact, a danger, there can be an immediate hearing. If you can't afford a lawyer, one will be provided for you, and then evidence will be examined. And if the judge decides that, in fact, you are a danger to yourself or others, the judge has a wide range of options. They can say, look, If you're going to go and have outpatient treatment for psychiatric issues, we'll have you come back in a week or two and reevaluate the situation. They can take away the person's driver's license. They can take away the person's guns, or ultimately, in the most extreme cases, they can involuntarily commit the person. The thing is, with the red flag laws, they strip out all these protections that are there. The only thing that the judge sees when he makes the decision is a written complaint by somebody. He doesn't talk to the person who wrote the complaint. He doesn't talk to the person who the complaint is made about. And based on that, the only thing that the judge can do is to take away a person's guns. And, you know, the thing is, most of these cases involve instances where the person is suicidal. The notion that, simply taking away a person's gun will commit stop them from being able to commit suicide is simply crazy. You know, I'll give you a simple example. There are lots of places around the world that have banned either all guns or all handguns. We've seen those types of bans on handguns in Chicago and Washington, D.C. And time after time, there may be drops in firearm suicides, but there's no change besides. People simply use other ways to go and commit suicide. There are lots of other ways for people to go and kill themselves. And, you know, so if you're serious about this, you're going to do more than just take away the person's ability to go and have a gun. And the problem is, without these safeguards, you can have a lot of abuse of the system. I have a very good friend of mine, Andy Pollack, who lost his daughter at the Parkland school shooting. Mm-hmm. And after Parkland and his daughter's loss, he didn't want to stay around the area. There's just too many memories. So he moved all the way across the country to rural Oregon. And about the time he moved in there, there was somebody else who moved in next door from California who just hated him politically. And one of the things that they did was they filed one of these red flag laws. And when it finally got to court, the judge said, because the judge, when he took away Andy's gun, said, you know, the only thing that he looked at was this written complaint. But when he actually heard the case that these individuals had, these neighbors had, he didn't even require that Andy had to put on a defense. He just after hearing, he says, look, there's no threat here. Why did you file this? You had no business filing this, claiming that he was threatening you, because you haven't even yourself claimed that he was threatening you. And so, but unfortunately, while Andy's guns were taken away, given that this was rural Oregon, he had run into a mountain lion right next to his house. Fortunately, he had his dog with him, and the dog was able to defend him. But the dog, for example,
against the mountain lion,
badly mauled. Yeah. Well,
did the dog die?
Was badly mauled.
Oh, okay.
No, the dog lived, but it had to have 50 stitches just on its side. And Andy was able to escape. But Andy normally would be carrying a handgun with him when he'd be walking around his property. And he wasn't able to defend himself or protect his dog. But, you know, it could have been worse there. But the point is that what you see time after time when people make these false claims, there's never any penalty that's imposed. I mean, I've worked in the Department of Justice. I worked at the U.S. Sentencing Commission. And one thing that everybody knows is that people who make false complaints to the police are just never prosecuted for making those false complaints, even when it's very clear that they knew they were making false claims. And
do people even have to sign those, if I may, John? Do people even need to sign those complaints, you know, that are, I know you just said the judge can't talk to them or anything of that nature, but do they even have to sign, or can they be anonymous?
They sign them, but it doesn't really make any difference because they're not held responsible for stuff that's in there. And people know that when they put these things together.
Well, that's what I mean, and that's the reason I'm asking. If you can't hold people accountable, then you are going to create, particularly if this is on such a widespread scale, which is apparently what their goal is with this federal center, if you don't hold them accountable for making these false complaints, it's going to encourage people just to turn in political enemies of theirs, or friends, enemies who used to be friends. Somebody had a bad breakup, for crying out loud. Lord only knows, there are all kinds.
Right.
All kinds of reasons somebody might make a written statement saying, I think this person is depressed, or maybe this person isn't depressed, but they're really angry, they're really political, and they talk all the time about this, that, or the other thing, and I think they might go on a shooting spree. That's all they have to do is write it, and a judge can automatically yank the guns away without due process, and that individual is not held accountable for the phony complaint. That's what you're saying.
Right. No, that's right. It doesn't always have to be maliciousness that people are reporting these things. Even just, they could be well-meaning. So, for example, one of the people that works for my center, Nicole Gozer, her husband was murdered in front of her almost 15 years ago by one of her stalkers. And, so she was incredibly depressed afterwards. And let's say you had had a friend or a neighbor or somebody who had said, Nikki's very depressed. She has a gun. I'm just concerned. And had gone and put in one of these orders that were there. Without a hearing, she wouldn't be able to explain to a judge that if you took away her ability to go and defend herself, she would just be locked up in her home all the time. I mean, it was bad enough anyway, to go and deal with the threats and stuff that were there. But not to be able to go and defend herself or have the option, she would have been incredibly depressed. And so, and the thing is, there's actually evidence that indicates that after you pass these red flag laws, you have some increases in suicides. Take somebody who's like a police officer. Police officers get depressed at relatively high rates. They do commit suicide at relatively high rates. But let's say, you had a red flag law. You take away a police officer's guns, you take away his job. And so do we want police officers who are depressed to be afraid to go and talk to other people about their depression? Talking to other people can be very valuable in terms of people overcoming depression issues.
Sure, whether they're police officers or not, if this red flag law, if a red flag law becomes known to people who are responsible law-abiding gun owners, and they do find themselves in the, mired in depression and anxiety or whatever it is, maybe it's, private life things or whatever causes it, they're not going to seek help if they know that simply talking to a therapist or even a friend might lead somebody to reporting that, hey, this guy is depressed and they're a gun owner. And so they're going to say, you know what, I'll deal with it myself rather than run the risk of telling somebody about it who's going to turn me in and have my gun taken away. And then, John, I don't even think we've talked about the costs associated with going back and winning one of these, battles in which your gun has been confiscated under a red flag law. What does it take to get it back? What does it take to prove, hey, look, I'm not a threat to myself? Yeah, I was depressed. My dog died. Yeah, I was depressed. I had a breakup. But no, I'm not going to hurt myself. I've got to convince a judge of that in order to be able to get my gun back. That's extraordinary.
Right. Well, so you talk to lawyers involved in these types of cases, and they'll tell you it's going to cost about $10,000 or so to go through a hearing when they eventually do have one of these hearings. And so you have individuals who want to keep their guns. But if I tell you it's going to take $10,000 for you to have a lawyer to go and challenge this, what's going to happen? Most of the vast majority of people say, look, I'm just going to represent myself. I'm not going to hire a lawyer because the worst that can happen to me with these red flag laws is that they take away my guns. Now, I may not want them to take away my guns, but is it really worth $10,000 or more dollars for me to go and fight this? Most people are going to say, no, it's not worth $10,000. And I think that's one of the reasons why gun control advocates have set this up the way they have.
Yeah, I think you're right. And John, I know we don't have a lot of time left here. It's already 11:25. But just you did a lot of work here on this this AI story. Give us a thumbnail sketch version of what you wrote about and the research that you did using 20 AI chatbots when it comes to the responses you get from them on crime and gun control.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously, it's in the news some about Google's Gemini and the biases it has. And, of course, anybody who's used something like, Google Search probably notices that Google kind of weights certain sources on the left a lot more than they weight other sources that are there. So, you know, the New York Times or Washington Post or something like Bloomberg's The Trace for his gun control stuff will come up right there at the top. But things on the other side, you know, if they come up at all, will be buried. You know, people may have heard recently that, for example, even with Democrats, you have Robert Kennedy, when he was in the Democratic primaries, Google essentially prevented any search for him. For Democratic candidates to even mention his websites at all, any place in the search outcomes, because they wanted to help Biden out and try to squash the primary run that was there. But so what we did was ask 16 questions dealing with crime and gun control, questions that I thought would be pretty simple. Like, for example, do you think higher arrest rates and higher conviction rates deter criminals? Do you think district attorneys who are refusing to prosecute violent criminals affects crime rates? Do you think the death penalty deters crime? Do you think voter ID laws prevent vote fraud? And what you found is that except for Elon Musk's Grok, all the other AIs were basically very liberal on gun control issues, I mean, on crime issues. And, you know, you look at the two most prominent ones for Facebook and Google, and they were the most biased. So, you know, not only would they say, so you're given options. You could say strongly agree or, you know, agree, neutral, disagree, strongly disagree. So on things like, do you think higher arrest rates and higher conviction rates deter criminals, those Facebook and Google would say that they strongly disagree. And, you know, it's just they were strongly the most liberal positions on each one of the issues all the way across the board on crime and gun control. And, you know, on gun control, you know, just kind of standard laws. Do you think an assault weapons ban makes people safer? Do you think red flag laws that we were talking about will save lives? And they were consistently liberal on all those things.
Yeah, and that's a great concern because AI is just barely scratching the surface of what it is going to become and the role, the outsized role it's going to have in the decision-making of powerful people. There's no getting around
it. Well, students.
Well, John, I've got to go here.
Reporters.
Yeah, I'm out of time here, John, but you're right about that, too. And we'll talk again another time when we have more of it. John Arlott, Jr., the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Make sure you follow his work. Follow him on Twitter as well. He is at John Arlott, Jr. on Twitter. John Arlott, Jr. on Twitter. And we will be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.